From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Preserved to Work's End. The text is Acts 23, verse 11. The Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Are you a witness for the Lord, and are you just now in danger? Then remember that you are immortal till your work is done. If the Lord has more witness for you to bear, you will live to bear it. Who is he that can break the vessel which the Lord intends again to use? If there is no more work for you to do for your master, it cannot distress you that he is about to take you home and put you where you will be beyond the reach of adversaries. Your witness bearing for Jesus is your chief concern, and you cannot be stopped in it till it is finished. Therefore, be at peace. Cruel slander, wicked misrepresentation, desertion of friends, betrayal by the most trusted one, and whatever else may come, cannot hinder the Lord's purpose concerning you. The Lord stands by you in the night of your sorrow, and he says, Thou must yet bear witness for me. Be calm. Be filled with joy in the Lord. If you do not need this promise just now, you may very soon. Treasure it up. Remember also to pray for missionaries and all persecuted ones, that the Lord would preserve them even to the completion of their life work.
Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your defender is he who is all mount up with wings as eagle ascending. Victory is sure when you call on his name. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong.
Rejoice for the victory is yours.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer.
Thank you.
continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of the message called The Argument of Paul in Romans. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. In this message, Dr. Cairns has been showing the great need sinners have before a holy God, a need which they have no power to generate or earn on their own. God requires perfect righteousness, absolute obedience to His law. And no man who ever lived has been able to measure up to this standard, except one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. Through His atoning death on the cross, Christ fully met the demands of God's law and earned the righteousness which God the Father imputes to those who receive Christ as their Savior and Lord. Here is the heart of the gospel: justification by grace alone, through the merits of Christ alone. This is the message that sets sinners free and brings peace and assurance to the hearts of believers. Now to conclude this message, The Argument of Paul in Romans, here is Dr. Cairns.
When God justifies you and imputes the righteousness of Christ in you, you're adopted into the family of God. You have a right to the name and all the privileges of the sons of God because you are united to Him who is the Son of God. Bless God, you're free to live out the privileges of God's sons. And then from 16 to the end of the chapter, you have this wonderful statement that looks through time with all its troubles, through death with all its challenges, to the glory that is to come. And you're free from doubt and fear because the Holy Ghost witnesses, one, you're the children of God by faith in Christ. Two, because you're children, you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see what he's saying? Can you be doubtful or fearful when you realize I am an heir to everything that Christ is an heir to? That's what he's saying. A joint heir with Christ. You're not going to get some blessings just because Jesus died and rose again. It's not just that God's going to be kind and good to you on the account of the merits of Christ. That's true, but it's only a little part of the truth. This is the truth. Everything that Jesus Christ has merited, everything that He has ever deserved, everything that God has ever promised Him, everything that He is heir to, is as much yours if you're in Christ as it is Christ's. That's what he's saying. My, what a gospel this is. What an argument this is. I find you there in the depths of sin, condemned without a shred of godliness or righteousness, and you needed a perfect righteousness, and you could do nothing to get it. I brought you to Him whom I have appointed, even Jesus Christ. I've given you faith in Him, and by faith in Jesus, I have made you a joint heir with my Son. That's God's word. Man, that's the answer to doubt, is it not? That's the answer to fear. Our eternal glory is therefore assured. And the great thing about it is, this assurance rests on the immutable purpose of the unchanging God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What a chain of grace from eternity in the foreknowledge and predestination of God. I don't understand why Christians don't like those words. I can understand the rebel ungodly fighting against the sovereignty of God. But why God's people should want to fly in the face of their God and fight with God because He said, I foreknew you. I determined to save you. I predestinated you. Why would a Christian not jump for joy? Because I want to tell you, if it had been left to me to get to know God, if it had been left to me to get to choose God, if it had been left to me to get to bring God down to me, I'd be damned eternally. But he said, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. And he starts in glory, and he ends in glory. He says, that's why we know all things work together for good. That's how we know it. Because, listen, the God who has justified us never changes. Thus we can live in the enjoyment that we're inseparable from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he gives you this long list at the end of Romans chapter 8. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Shall these separate us from the love of Christ? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. Us guilty, hell-deserving sinners who have been clothed in the righteous garments of Christ's perfection and justified by the imputed righteousness of Christ and united to him and saved by the power of his blood. Nothing will separate us, whom God foreknew, whom God predestined, whom God called, whom God justified, whom God glorified when he raised Christ to heaven. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But here's another objection then. And this is the meaning of Romans 9, 10, and 11. Hey, the objector says, you glory in God's eternal purpose, but didn't that purpose fail with Israel? Didn't God purpose great things for Israel, and yet he has cast them off? So how can that purpose be such a cause of assurance for you? It's a big section, this one. And I will sum it up simply by saying that the answer was God's purposes with regard to Israel did not fail. You've got to distinguish between the natural seed and the spiritual seed of Abraham. And all God's elect in Israel will be saved. Furthermore, the nation of Israel was rejected as a nation because it rejected God's way of salvation. It's therefore cut off from the peculiar promises and the peculiar place promised to it as a nation. But never forget, this is controversial, but we'll prove it if and when we live long enough to get to Romans 11. God hasn't finished with the nation. You can't read Romans 11 and all the spiritualizing of the amillennialists in the world can never get around this. As even some of them are recognizing, God has a future for the nation. And here's a beautiful thought. I love to think of this. The casting off of Israel brought the gospel to the Gentile. The casting off of Israel brought blessing to the nations. Paul says the regathering of Israel will be like life from the dead. That's one reason why I am a millennialist and not a post or a millennialist at that. One reason, not the only reason, but one very important reason. The regathering of Israel, and it's not just their placement in the Holy Land, it's their regathering into Christ. It's their engrafting into Christ. Then the world will be like something that has come alive from the dead. Then the gospel will have its full force and fruit in the land. So God's purposes and God's promises don't fail. In fact, that leads Paul to the great conclusion in chapter 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Listen, this is where he reaches. This is the great climax. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. That's where the gospel brings you. To the sovereign God of heaven, you bow at his feet and you say, to our God be all the glory. This is Paul's argument. The final chapters are an application of that argument. Because in the light of it all, how should Christians live? And I'll sum up 12 through 16 by simply saying that Christians should live in the world in the light of the gospel of God, to whom all glory is due, for revealing its glorious and powerful message to the world. Now we have skipped. You might not think we skipped, but we did. We've skipped very quickly, and believe it or not, even very briefly, over the immense argument of what is in many ways the greatest book in the Bible. I want you to learn that argument. Ponder it deeply, so that it meets the need of your own heart. It addresses your own fears and troubles, and lets you live in the certainty of grace. I want you to learn this argument of justification as the as the basis for sanctification, so that you may live in the holiness that becomes the gospel. And then, having learned it for yourself, go out and preach it to the world. For believe me, this is the gospel that Paul was talking about when he said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. For this is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. May God give us a knowledge of his gospel and a heart to make it known. May the argument of this book grip our souls, thrill them, and equip us to serve the Lord Christ. And what a day when all is over. We arrive at the throne of God. What a day when we can cast our crowns at Jesus' feet and we can say to our God, to God be all the glory. To God be all the glory for this gospel of free grace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to all our hearts. We do thank thee that thou hast set forth Christ fully and freely in the gospel. We bless thee for a great Savior and a glorious Redeemer. We thank thee, our Father and our God, for the perfection of his life and for the perfection of his atonement. We rejoice that Christ lived for us and died for us and rose again for us, and now lives in God's presence for us, and is coming again for us. Lord, we bless Thee for our union with Christ. We pray that Thou wilt bring the lost to Him tonight. And, O Lord, let the gospel take such a grip of all those who know Thee that it will be a source of constant comfort, and it will be the substance of our message to the world. Hear our cry. Bless us now as we separate one from another. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. We pray these things in Jesus' name and through the merits of His precious shed blood. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.